Hello?
You have quite a new phone.
Who is this?
Is my associate. Indiscreetly told you we don't have names.
You don't listen to us?
That's all I could do after you closed the shades. Agent Scully.
You are under the Constitution?
Yes. It's what allows foreign terrorists to live here and enjoy the American dream until time comes to destroy it.
White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network. Your host for today's show is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. So get a spot of tea. Sit down and relax, because it's time for another show on the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network.
Well, here I is, Terrible Tommy, back in the bunker. Back in the bunker from a long weekend. A long, rainy, drizzly weekend. Whoopee, we had lots of fun. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send all your moolah, donations, letters, and so forth. And we'll take it from there. And then go up to resist.com and get educated. If you haven't hung around resist.com very much, you're not educated. So get up there. Look it over. We've redone it. Added things, subtracted things, and so forth. Well, I see we got a note in here from Stray Dog out there in New Germany. Hi, T.T. Donald Trump supports Zionist Jews and is their puppet. Well, has there ever been anybody in Washington that hasn't? Voters are willing to horse trade on the issues, allowing blind devotion to Israel, so long as Trump appears to be pro-white working man. The attraction for non-white voters who vote Trump is that they get carried along with the white working class, have more jobs. Don't let them shit you on the so-called minority vote, as white people are 71% of the voting electorate, according to the recent segment on C-SPAN Network. Trump's rallies are fun to watch. I wish they would turn into real fistfights, then we can establish a pecking order without hurting anybody. That's called passion. Only the lower classes can feel this calling. Do not be fooled into voting. Donnie Trump acts like a nice white person. However, he's a Jew lover at heart. Yeah, I think we pretty well got that message. P.S. Everyone who was surprised when Chris Christie endorsed Donnie Trump. Well, it was no surprise to this radio program. I had the scoop on that years back, and we put it out. We need moles in every statehouse. Yeah, Christie is, you couldn't be governor of a state as corrupt and as Jew-laden and so forth as New Jersey and be straight. You just couldn't be. He's not out of the woods on that closing down the bridges and freeways or whatever he did up there, you know. He's not out of the woods on that. There's some really funny skits on Saturday Night Live about this campaign. I watched a few last night. There was one with Chris Christie on there. He had a minor role standing there beside Donnie Trump. Well, in case you're more of a newcomer to this, there is a system called Principle 10 that the Soviets had. It covered a lot of territory. But basically what Soviet Principle 10 said was that if we come into your country and invade you and you resist, then you're the aggressor because we're bringing wonderful things to you and a great society through Marxism. And if you resist us, you're the aggressor and must be put down. Well, I see that they used that all the time back in the old days, but now they're using it again with this Trump thing, with his speaking and having public engagements, and then the move on people move in and get violent and agitate for violence, and they get tossed out, and then they come back that Trump's people are the aggressors. They played this on me for years. I used to speak to a lot of high schools and colleges, and the Marxists, or whatever you want to call them, got some new ideas on how to stop me. They would write to the university and say, if you let Metzger speak, you know there's going to be violence. He'll bring violence. Well, that would scare the shit out of the university leader, and the security in the university then would go in and talk to the president of the university and say, look, looks like if Metzger comes, there's going to be violence. What are we going to do? Well, the president thinks it over and comes out with a pronouncement. Well, it's not because we want to block free speech, but since there's going to be violence, if Metzger comes here to lecture, well, we're not going to allow him to come to lecture. That's the old Soviet style of free speech. And they're using it over and over and over again. It's just amazing how it never changes. I mean, you know, guy calls for a meeting, you call for a meeting in a library room or something like that, and then the creeps come and raise hell and cause violence, and then they ban you from using the room in the future. So it's a clever, sneaky, dirty way to operate, but it works because the people on the other side, the presidents of the colleges and so forth, they're yellow. They're yellow as hell. They got a yellow streak right down their back, and at the least little thing, they'll back down. So Trump is feeling the full brunt of Soviet Principle 10. And however, when we used to do it, we got wise to them, and we set up things where we could waylay them and beat the shit out of them, and we did many times, and to where they quit coming around. The Progressive Labor Party and the National Anti-Klan Committee, and there were about four or five of those over the period of years that attempted to shut me down, and almost none of them ever succeeded. But anyhow, but I was willing to fight, and my men were willing to fight. And I mean really fight. But these people today, they're not willing to fight for anything. You know, I feel sorry for some of these guys in the audience that are good stand-up white guys that just say, screw you, and go punch them in the mouth, and then they'll get arrested, and they got to go to court, and then they get something on their record, and they get fined, and all that. I think if they were smart, they'd spot these people before they come in, try to come into the hall, spot them on the outside, spot them maybe a block or two away as they're getting out of their cars, and then give them a message they can't refuse to where they never even get to the hall, especially the leader. Always go for the leader. Like I said before, we went through this stuff with the Wallace campaign. I worked for the Wallace campaign twice, and we put up with this stuff. The creeps would come down to our big meeting, or a meeting where George Wallace was going to appear, and try to invade and stop the meeting. Back then, though, there was a lot more stand-up white men, and they'd get up and run them off. And they never shut down one of the Wallace meetings that I know of. Just remember, you got to fight fire with fire. Nothing else works. Anyhow, in the meantime, just have a lot of fun watching this stuff. If Trump gets on the main ticket, you're going to see months of this kind of stuff. Maybe call out the National Guard and all that stuff. Just have fun, sit back, and enjoy it. Well, it seems the Dukes and some of their followers still have hooks into Trump. Says here, Donald Trump Jr. has no problem associating with white supremacists. Trump appeared on white supremacist radio show, The Political Cesspool, it's called, hosted by known white supremacist James Edwards. Neo-Nazis, KKK leaders, and Holocaust deniers have been among the many guests on this show. Edwards has no shame admitting his preferential treatment at the Donald Trump rallies. The KKK Post reports that, or the Huffington Post reports that Edwards has received an all-access press badge in addition to VIP parking. James is also allowed to broadcast his radio show live from these rallies. The Political Cesspool show has recently broadcast from 3 Donald Trump rallies, to include Illinois, Arkansas, and Tennessee. Unfortunately, this VIP treatment gives Edwards, his white supremacist show, and the ideals a sense of legitimacy by being able to cover high-profile events such as this, but he doesn't want you to take what the media says at face value. My show, The Political Cesspool, promotes a proud, paleo-conservative Christian worldview. And we reject media descriptions of our work as white supremacists, pro-slavery, and other such scare words. Because we are paleo-Christian and have a worldview of that. As I clearly wrote in yesterday's article, in no way should anyone interpret our press credentialing and subsequent interview with Donald Trump Jr. as any kind of endorsement by the Trump campaign. The grotesque way in which the media is purposely misrepresenting my work and taking certain cherry-picked statements wildly out of context is both shameful and reprehensible. That said, I apologize for nothing, and I attract nothing. Wow. This interview with Donald Trump Jr. could not have come at a worse time for the Trump campaign, which claims to be working to fight the perception that they are inherently racist and anti-immigration. Critics of Trump have called his ideals flat-out racist, as he received a strong endorsement from former KKK Grand Wizard David Duke. David Duke had some strong words for those that are anti-Trump. Anyhow, it's interesting how the some right-wing elements that are obviously racist are trying to, I don't know what the hell they're trying to do. You figure it out. Well, I guess we have no dress codes anymore, especially when it has to do with non-white religious type people. So let's listen to what this story is about. Take it away, Zira.
Organizers of the South by Southwest Arts Festival have apologized to the United States
Organizers of the South by Southwest Arts Festival have apologized to the United States Olympian Ibtihaj Muhammad after a volunteer said she must remove her Muslim head covering to receive credentials to the event in Austin, Texas. The Olympic fencer was picking up an identification badge at the interactive film and music event on Saturday when a volunteer told her she must take off her hijab before her photograph could be taken. Even after I explained it was for religious reasons, he insisted I had to remove my hijab, she said on Twitter. In an email to Reuters on Sunday, March 13, SXSW organizers said that they have since removed the volunteer for the duration of the event. We are embarrassed by this and have apologized to Ibtihaj in person, and sincerely regret this incident, SXSW said in the statement. Muhammad, 30, will make history in Rio de Janeiro as the first Olympian to represent the United States wearing a hijab. Muhammad has become an outspoken critic of presidential candidate Donald Trump, who called for a ban on Muslims from entering the United States. I feel like I owe it to people who look like me to speak out, Muhammad told reporters on Wednesday. When I hear someone say something like, "We're going to send Muslims back to their countries," I say, "Well, I'm American. Where am I going to go?" After the incident was resolved at the event, Muhammad said on Twitter that she was issued the wrong identification. "Then I was given the wrong ID. From now on my name is Tamir and I work for Time Warner Inc." Muhammad is ranked number 7 in the world and 2nd in the United States in Sabre, according to the USA Fencing website. USA Today noted that after the check-in incident, she was on a panel called The New Church, Sport as Currency of American Life. "I had a crappy experience checking in. Someone asking me to remove my hijab isn't out of the norm for me. Do I hope it changes soon? Yes, every day," Ahe told the audience, according to the Chicago Tribune. The Tribune also reported that she said of sponsors who might object to her speaking out, "If a sponsor wants to walk away, they weren't meant for me anyway."
And when they get enough of the covered people into this country, then they'll demand that you wear one too. That's the way it works. Territorial demands. And once you get enough of your people into a geographical territory, then you demand the rules be changed to your rules. So, ladies, as time goes on, get ready to be ordered to wear one of these chihabis or whatever. Of course, in the meantime, if you should desire to wear a swastika or a fascist symbol or maybe even the rising sun, or some Celtic or Germanic symbol, you may be forced to take it off, right? Don't wear them to school. Don't wear a pro-white t-shirt to school, you'll see. Yep, that's the way it works when there's regime change, race change, and culture change. The only way to stop it is stop your... make a ruling class change, because it all comes down from the top. Well, let's have a little more of that Muslim superiority situation here. See how it's going down in Texas again. Take it away, Zira.
A first-term Texas lawmaker who had earned national media attention for requiring Muslims visiting her office to take a loyalty oath has lost a recount she requested. State Representative Molly White, R. Belton, had lost her Republican primary race to Hugh Shine earlier this month by 118 votes out of more than 19,000 cast. On Thursday, a recount requested by White still had her losing by 104 votes. Texas lawmaker who required loyalty oath of Muslims loses recount photo. State Representative Molly White, R. Belton. I will continue to serve the community I love for the remainder of the year, and will passionately defend our conservative values wherever the Lord leads me in the future, White wrote to her supporters. In January 2015, on Texas Muslim Capitol Day, an occasion meant to promote political engagement and inclusion, White posted on Facebook that she had left an Israeli flag in her office with instructions to staff to ask representatives from the Muslim community to renounce Islamic terrorist groups and publicly announce allegiance to America and our laws. We will see how long they stay in my office. The episode didn't figure in the race, but at the time it garnered White national notoriety and criticism from her fellow lawmakers. Texas lawmaker who required loyalty oath of Muslims loses recount photo. Hugh Shine successfully challenged Molly White in the Republican primary. Shine, a military veteran and former lawmaker who had held the seat in the late 1980s, will not face a Democratic opponent. I am humbled by the faith and trust the voters of House District 55 have placed in me, and I will work diligently every day to be worthy of that trust, he told supporters on Facebook. I am hopeful we can have an orderly transition, he added.
Thank you, Thera. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not quite sure what that means. Whether she's super pro-Israel, I guess. She had a Israeli flag in her office, but then she was demanding that the Muslims who came to see her give their allegiance to the country and blah, blah, blah. It sounds like Christianity, Muslim, Judaism, everything's getting all mixed up. You see what confusion this brings? And so another guy, a veteran, runs and gets his seat back that he'd held recently, before, back in 82, running against someone who's demanding a loyalty oath from Muslims. And yet his comrades go over there to fight and get killed by Muslims. I don't know. It's getting ridiculous. Well, two Northwestern University freshmen are accused of spray painting racist and anti-homosexual messages, as well as the word Trump, inside a campus chapel. Anthony Morales, 19, and Matthew Kafker, 18, were arraigned Saturday on charges of institutional vandalism, hate crime to a place of worship. Oh my God! And criminal damage to the property, the Chicago Tribune reported. A judge set bail at $50,000 each after reprimanding the teens, according to the newspaper. $50,000. Has the world gone mad? The vandalism took place Thursday night inside the non-denominational Alice Millar Chapel, where racist and Semitic, anti-homosexual and other offensive graffiti was left on the walls, offices, and an organ. I wonder whose organ. Oh, wait a minute, that musical organ, I guess. The university said, following the criminal charges, the students have been placed on interim suspension, which prohibits them from being on university property, a spokesman told BuzzFeed News. Well, that's a benefit for them. Are you kidding? Keeping him off the university campus is probably going to save their life. Why don't they can go about a more meaningful method of making a living than being brainwashed by this fucking pro Jew, pro-Christian, pro-crap Northwestern University. Quote, here we go, Northwestern is committed to creating a safe, secure, and welcoming environment for all our students, faculty, and staff, unquote. University President Morton Shapiro said in a statement following the incident. Morton Shapiro? Quote, this disgusting act of hatred violates the deepest values and core commitments of our university and is an affront to us all, unquote. Man, they never get that excited when white guys are jammed up or white racialists who want to just talk about the white race. Oh, no, they never get that excited about that. Campus police reviewed surveillance video, and the students were arrested on Friday. They were released from jail Saturday after making bond, the Cook County Sheriff's Office told BuzzFeed News, which is a pseudo-liberal, Marxist, extreme socialist, I don't know, just a race-mixing news service, BuzzFeed News. According to the Tribune, students are accused of spray-painting penises, a swastika, and the word Trump, as well as crossing out a photo of Muslim students. Oh, wow. I don't know which is worse, making a painting of a penis that's dick to you non-educated people, painting out Muslim pictures. Oh, hang on, boys and girls. This is going to be a wild-ass ride, I'll tell you. This country is going to turn into a total fucking zoo. I mean, it already is, but it's going to get a lot worse. Well, the morning after the Chicago rally for Donald Trump was canceled for fear of violence, that Donald was going to attack the gathering, the city's Catholic Archbishop warned that enmity and animosity are hallmarks of today's politics and a cancer that is threatening the nation's civic health. In other words, the people aren't being very sheepish lately. They're changing from sheep to wolves, and the church don't like it. You go back there and get in your pan, sheepy. Quote, our nation seems to have lost sense of the importance of cultivating friendships as fellow citizens who, being equal, get that, share much in common. Well, you're not fucking equal, Archbishop Blaise Kupik, whatever, what the hell, Kupik, where'd he come from, said in a homily Saturday at the old St. Patrick's Church in Chicago. Quote, instead, our politics and public discourse are often marked by enmity and animosity, he said. Oh, well, it's only when it's against some people. When it's against other people, it's okay. His remarks were delivered to a packed congregation that included numerous state and city political civic leaders, including that idiot mayor, Rahm Emanuel. Oh, jeez. Now, let's see. There's got to be more to this story. Yeah. Quote, there is an overly competitive character that defines how we relate to one another. That's called survival of the fittest, emphasizing what divides us rather than what we share in common. Kupik said, no, what divides us is what makes us stronger. And because we do not value growing together, getting real cozy, cozy, kissy, kissy, a cancer is developing that threatens to harm us all. Positions harden, progress is stalled, and it is becoming clear that the body politic is nearing the limits of how much suffering it can endure. Well, I'm sure you can endure a hell of a lot more than you're enduring now, you rich son of a bitch hiding in your big church. The evening before Kupik's homily, Trump, the leading Republican presidential candidate, whose fiery rhetoric has been paired with physical confrontations at his appearances, how dare him say anything that might be construed as pro-white, canceled a rally at the University of Illinois Arena downtown. Clashes did break out, in fact, of Move On supporters attacking the audience of the people who were there to hear the speech. Breakout between Trump supporters, which they're trying to give the impression that the Trump supporters sought these people out, Move On, and attacked them, who have gained a reputation for intimidating tactics, and Trump opponents, who have increasingly showed up at the candidates' rallies to challenge him. Gee, wow. I can't understand why that would cause any violence. Kupik's homily also came days before the next round of presidential primaries on Tuesday, that's tomorrow, when Illinois will be one of the several states with large delegate shares that will overwhelmingly support Donald Trump, whether we like him or not. Trump is currently leading in most polls, and it appears he has the support of many Catholics, as he did in Michigan. Yeah, sometimes religion has to take a back seat to other things. Kupik did not mention Trump or any of the candidates by name. His homily reflected both his own long-standing focus on promoting greater civility in the church and public life, including child molestation, and the growing concerns among many religious leaders that ugly tenor of this year's historic campaign, particularly in the especially fierce Republican contest, could pose serious dangers to the nation's social fabric. Yeah. At least we can cover up that talking about child molestation and pedophilia. So let's talk about Trump. Let's not talk about that. Kupik also sought to highlight the underlying conditions that have created the deep, deep resentment that some politicians are now exploiting. Politicians at election time always do that, you idiot. It's the name of the game. He took as his frame of reference the centenary of the 1916 Easter Rising in Ireland. The reason he was at the historic 170-year-old St. Patrick's to celebrate Mass, a rebellion against British rule that left 2,000 casualties and marked a turning point in the bloody struggle for Irish independence. That rebellion, the Archbishop said, stemmed from the exclusion of Irish Catholics and their treatment as subhuman lower class. Well, I don't have a problem with that. I know that happened. Social cohesion wore thin in a system corrupted by inequality. No, 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 no. Inequality never caused that. We're all unequal. There's no equality. It was the fact that they were not given any kind of freedom, and they were kept poor and all that kind of stuff. After the Scotch were transported over into Ireland early on, and that's a story in itself. Favoring the powerful and wealthy, I think that's more the reason for it than anything else. Their self-promotion and preservation to the exclusion of the weak and voiceless. Well, they weren't weak and voiceless. They performed a rebellion. The IRA did a pretty fair job of evening up the score. Kupik said the result, many people lost hope, solidarity vanished, their heart hardened, and society ended up becoming infected by a cancer that harmed all. How in the hell can you compare the Easter Rising with Trump giving a speech and the Move On people going crazy? He quoted the famous lines of Easter 1916 by the Irish poet William Butler Yeats, who wrote, "Too long a sacrifice can make a stone of the heart." Well, focusing on the common good and not favoring some over others, including some of the excluded others, was the way forward, Kopic said. This is all bullshit, man. You can't compare the Easter Rising with Trump giving his speech. Anyhow, that's enough of that jerk. Now, how come I'm not turning off? There, I gotta turn it off there. How do you like this headline? Will God save us from Donald Trump? Given Donald Trump's problems and the danger he poses, how long will it be until he implodes? Do we need a miracle? Yeah, you need your baby God to come down. You need a baby Jesus to save your ass. From Trump, that is. Boy, those Texas Christians are something else. This is Mineola, Texas. On Super Tuesday, Dale Clark voted for a local Republican, a Republicrat, who claimed on social media that President Obama had worked as a gay prostitute in his youth. Well, I think there's evidence of that. That the United States should ban Islam. Well, I don't see why not. I think we should ban probably Christianity, too. That the Democratic Party had John F. Kennedy killed and the United Nations had hatched a plot to depopulate the world. Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, we have to look into all that stuff, man. It could be some truth in it. Mr. Clark, 75, was unaware that the candidate he had supported, Mary Lou Bruner, 68, a former kindergarten teacher and an obvious Nazi, for a seat on the State Board of Education, held such views. But as he sat with his wife eating lunch in this East Texas city, Mr. Clark was ready to give Miss Bruner the benefit of the doubt, because he's a good Christian boy. Quote, "I would not discount her on the basis of having those beliefs," unquote, said Mr. Clark, which makes him a closet Nazi too. A retired pilot. I don't think I'd want to ride in his airplane. "It convinced me, though, that she is quite conservative. And if I were going to err either way, I would want to err toward the side of conservative, even if she is a full-blown Nazi stormtrooper." Wow. Let's see here. Ms. Bruner's anti-Obama, anti-Islam, anti-evolution, and anti-gay Facebook posts have generated national headlines and turned an obscure school board election into the glimpse of the outer limits of Texas politics. In a part of the state dominated by conservative Christians, Christensenians, and Tea Party activists, Ms. Bruner's candidacy has posed a question no one can answer with any certainty. How far to the fringe is too far for Texas Republicans? How far are they going to go, man? This got to stop. This shit's got to stop, man. We can't have all this stuff. I love chaos. More chaos, please, please, more chaos. Ms. Bruner has been selected as the Obersfuhrer by Donald Trump for her area of Texas when he becomes president. And he's happy with that choice because she is a stand-up Nazi. Well, guess what, all you fascists out there? Donald Trump is slated to speak at the AIPAC policy conference next week. AIPAC is the American Jew Israel Public Affairs Committee. Its mission is to make the United States a vassal state to Israel. It works across all political, ethnic, banking, and religious lines. AIPAC is a large ideological tent, if you agree with the Jews. If you don't, get out of my tent. I know people from the right, center, and left of both Israeli politics and American politics support AIPAC. AIPAC has extended invitations to all presidential candidates to address the close to 20,000 delegates, Stormfuhrers, who will be at the conference. Wow. Many believe that AIPAC erred inviting Trump. Say what? I guess his couple of daughters married to Jews. I don't know. They said that this invitation is an explicit endorsement of his fascist candidacy and or his views. I disagree. In the contest of who has the most contempt for Trump's message, I yield to no one. But living in the real world requires you to be in close spaces with people whose views you find abhorrent, especially when there's money and power involved. You will have to listen to people with whom you disagree. You don't listen too well, but you need to listen. Even those people whose views and whose supporters nauseate you and make you sick at your stomach. Without that, there would be no political debates. Moreover, if AIPAC invites any candidates to speak, then it must invite them all. Yeah. They never invited me when I ran for office. I guess they weren't around. That was just the ADL back then. Hospitality to Trump does not imply hospitality to his views. Of course not. How does that work? How do you separate the man from his views? Any more than it implies the acceptance of the views of any candidates. That said, I dreamed that Donald called me up and said, "Jeff, I need for you to write my AIPAC speech." Here goes. Let me stop right there. Many of you, perhaps even most of you, are not my friends. You lack any affection feelings towards me and towards the things I have said, and certainly towards the way I have said them. I understand that I like to speak my mind. I might want you to respect my desire to speak my mind. And I also understand that many of you simply do not agree with what's in my mind and what I have allowed to come out of my mouth. I do not expect to win any converts here today because you're all filthy kikes. And I only do business with clean kikes. On the subject of converts, you all know by now that my daughter, Ivanka, has converted to Judaism because she married a clean kike, and that she and her family live an Orthodox Jewish lifestyle. Oh, God, I don't think that'll last forever. I'm not pandering to you when I say this. Ivanka has fallen in love with what you call Shabbat. I have spent much of my life around Jews, but none of them ever taught me about the power of the Jewish Shabbat until my own daughter began to take it seriously. When I go to my daughter's home for Shabbat, I see the magic and joy there. I'm impressed. Shabbat is huge. Ivan tells me that on Yom Kippur, you have to confess your sins alphabetically. Wow. There are that many, huh? I've been antagonistic, boorish, cruel, divisive, egotistical, fanatical, grandiose, hostile, and insensitive. I've also been a jerk. Enough with the alphabet soup thing. I've made offensive statements about women, immigrants, handicapped people, Muslims, Mexicans, and First Amendment, and my opponents. Ivanka showed me a book about the Jewish ethics of speech. I flipped through it. Good stuff. I should think more about that. But let me be absolutely clear about two things. One, many extremists, white supremacists, KKK members, neo-Nazis, and plain old-fashioned Jew haters support my candidacy. I despise everything they stand for. I do not want their support, unless it's money. But I don't need the money. If they attend my rallies, I will ask them to leave. Get out of here, white boys. Let them vote for someone else. Two, I recently mentioned that I would be neutral about Israel. The truth is, I'm not as neutral about Israel. I love Israel. I believe in Israel. I support Israel. This is what I meant by neutral. I believe that when we sit down with the Palestinians, we have to be open, fair, and even creative. We must emerge with an outcome that respects the security and dignity of both Jews and Palestinians. This is not terribly different from what many of you believe as well. I'm not a nice person, I know that, but I love Shabbat. I hate haters, even and especially when I come off as one. I love Israel. Oh, what's the use? Even as I typed these words, I knew that they were all a result of my wishful thinking, even my messianic thinking. I know that they would never come out of Donald Trump's mouth. And yet a man can dream. I'm not angry that AIPAC invited Donald Trump to a policy conference. They had to do it. Instead, angry that Donald Trump is who he is, and that he says what he says, and that he embodies what he embodies. The Republican Party and this country deserve far better. Is Carole King right? Is it too late, baby? Wow. There is still time to make sure that the White House does not become the next Trump Tower. Well, that's the speech he wanted Donald to give to AIPAC. And I think if Donald does appear, there will be a speech similar to that made. For all you Nazis out there, you're not going to like what he tells AIPAC. I wonder if Move On will be outside the AIPAC meeting tearing the building apart. I think not. It says here, this article is not available for republication. Sorry, boys. It just got republicationed. Well, here's a letter from one of our lone wolves. An email. Do you see how old-fashioned I am? A letter? I considered voting for Trump until he called for 30,000 troops in Syria. I knew he was a total fraud at that point, as opposed to just being fraudulent. I support Israel insofar as a place to deport all these kikes. Trump could win with the white vote, or at least terrify the shit out of the ruling class with a majority white vote backing him. He, however, brings out his pet Negroes, known as niggers. The middle class, I guess, and upper class of the Negro race are Negroes. It aggravates me when he says the heroin comes from Mexico, when in fact at least a large fraction of it comes from CIA funding farms in Afghanistan. He talks about genetic superiority, and that truth is important. However, the crowds don't respond positively to it. They don't know what it is. Boys, they don't know what it is anymore. I agree with you that he is another Wallace, but it was a relief to see Graham, Bush, Rubio, and Paul tank. If Trump manages to get elected, assuming that his purpose, we will see what he really is, I suppose. Worse is better, who cares? It would be nice to see millions of Latinos heading back to Mexico. Well, you know that's not going to happen. If it was going to happen, it would have happened a long time ago, way back when I was spending my money and working my ass off to get them out. That was in the 70s and 80s. Most of the millions have come here since then. Maybe in 20, 30 years, when this country pays the consequences of World War I and II for stabbing the white working class in the back, there will be serious racial radicals to take over the stage. Well, I hope so. Thank you for that train of thought. I'll ride your train any day. No, Sarah Silverman, that potty-mouthed Jewish comedian, outdid herself. She showed up on Conan, his show, dressed in full Nazi uniform as Adolf Hitler. Let's listen to what happened.
Hitler, thank you so much for stopping by tonight. And might I add, you're the worst.
I know.
Wow, Hitler's really aged well for being the scum of the earth. Sarah Silverman stopped by Conan as Adolf Hitler, where the comedian weighed in on the comparisons between the Nazi and current Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump.
Don't get me wrong, Conan. I agree with a lot he says. A lot. Like 90% of what he says. I'm like, this guy gets it.
Okay.
But it's just... I don't like the way he says it. It's just... It's crass.
Silverman, a.k.a. Hitler, also commented on some of the smaller elements of Donald's campaign.
Yeah, and you know, what kind of person talks about his penis size on national television? You know, oh yeah, I'm so sure Donald Trump has a big penis. I famously have a micro penis. That's what makes a tyrant.
Right, yeah, no, I'm... Yikes. Well, seeing all of Trump's hateful rhetoric actually got Hitler to be introspective for about 15 seconds.
Anyway, all these comparisons to Trump, it's like, it bums me out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes I watch him and I'm like, is that how people see me? You know, like, and I have to be honest, Trump, he's starting to make me rethink some of the things I've done.
Hmm.
Ah, who am I kidding? I gotta be me.
Yeah.
Right?
Well. And you're right. Well, thanks for clearing all that up, Hitler.
Well, you can imagine what happened to the Jewish hierarchy when they saw that. They went through the roof. Let's see whether I can pull up some of their thoughts about that. Okay, I'm going to run this Silverman bit, this Jew comedian, and then I'm going to run about 20 small responses, mostly from the Jewish community to the Jewish people to Sarah Silverman's appearance on the Conan show. I don't think Conan's Jewish. He may lose his show over this. Okay, Zira, take it away.
A major Jewish human rights organization railed against the use of Holocaust imagery on a satirical TV sketch this week, calling it the most outrageous yet. The Simon Wiesenthal Center, SWC, took serious issue with Thursday show on /TBS/, during which Jewish comedian Sarah Silverman entered the studio dressed as Hitler mustache, SS uniform, and all to talk about Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump. This was part on an ongoing controversy surrounding two issues relating to Trump's campaign. The first was the endorsement of the politician by white supremacist David Duke. The second was a claim that a pledge Trump elicited from voters in the lead-up to a recent primary caused them to raise their hands in what appeared to some viewers to resemble the Nazi salute. Silverman, a supporter of Democratic candidate Bernie Sanders, performed a routine in the /Conan/studio that involved her speaking on behalf of an ostensibly miffed Hitler, slightly offended at being compared to Trump. A Eurowiesenki are founding nearly 40 years ago, the SWC, which has never endorsed any candidate for office, has often spoken out when politicians, whether Democratic or Republican, and other public figures misuse the Holocaust and Nazi imagery, SWC Associate Dean Rabbi Abraham Cooper told the Algemeiner on Sunday. Now Americans are subject to a campaign of comparing presidential Candidate Donald Trump to Hitler. Sarah Silverman / Conan / is the latest and for now, the most outrageous incident. I have no doubt that there will be many, many, more such references, he said. However, he added, let me clear. Donald Trump has made statements that have angered and worried many Americans by denouncing all Muslims and failing to immediately denounce David Duke's endorsement, to cite but two examples. Mr. Trump left himself open to strong criticism, including from the Simon Wiesenthal Center. Nevertheless, Cooper stressed, entertainment figures accusing Trump of being Hitler-like is wrong and dangerous. You want to mock Trump? Okay. He's fair game. Take him on in every venue, including comedy. Denounce any statement he makes. But inserting history's greatest criminal who launched a world war that left 55 million people dead and who mass murdered 6 million Jews as a political prop in the 2016 campaign is beyond the pale. It demeans Hitler's victims and debases history. Cooper concluded, Americans deserve powerful national debate and discourse in this and every presidential campaign. The bombast being hurled across our national political and social divide is shameful. €20 comments. These self-hating Jews disgust me. This is not comedy. People have forgotten what comedy really is. One does not have to poke fun at any individual or group at any time. In my mind, these people are in the same category as rappers who tell people to commit mayhem. Not funny at all. Her judgment is often questionable. But her sister is a rabbi in Israel and I know she supports Israel. Does she not know how horrible Sanders would be for Israel? I know we often moan about how any given moment in time in our culture is the worst, but really this is pretty close to an all-time low for America. Number Aliyah 2017. To be critical about a Silverman activity is as useful as trying to teach pigs to sing. I don't pay much attention to a pig's grunt either. Silverman's lack of sensitivity and mature judgment, however, speaks more of the despicable character of the host and his lame audience than the bad taste of his offensive guest. Funny? I don't think any rational person could laugh at this. No, it is not in any way humorous. Disgusting and shame on you. What is wrong with Jews acting like stupid idiots from Sacha Cohen? Saying in a movie that he was going to kill Jews to this idiot. Sarah Silverman. Would she ever have put on blackface and acted like a nigger? The entire Jewish community would condemn her and yet she gives comfort and aid to an enemy and worse yet to a monster. Mel Brooks, another Jewish idiot, when asked who did attribute the success of his show and movie, the producers to answered, Hitler. Did the Holocaust really happen and did 7 million, not 6 million? Jews die horrible deaths and instead of being furious we erect Holocaust memorials instead of getting angry at our killers. I am saddened that Jewish life means so little to Jews and so much to our killers and haters. You should all be ashamed of yourselves because the Jew haters know their enemy so well. Instead of them being terrified of us, they gloat at us from David Irving, David Duke, and all the rest. Did they reprimand Mel Brooks? Unfortunately, she is not the first Jew to misuse the Holocaust and its symbols, and she won't be the last. Israeli politicians, who should know better, invoke Nazis frequently in their rhetoric and vitriol. I know we believe in free speech, but responsible speech is preferable. Sarah Silverman pushed Jews to vote for Obama for his first election. I personally think she was wrong then and probably wrong now. My only fear is that maybe all of the opposition from Republicans and Democrats may be part of a setup. So far, Trump seems to be the uncandidate, but it seems based on style and not positions. There will always be some idiot Jew that makes light of the pain and suffering that Jews have been through because they were Jewish, and usually these idiots hate the Jews that are currently fighting to exist as Jews. Guess this idiot is suffering from some form of identity crisis. This person is an embarrassment to Jews, the industry where she works, and to her family. Bottom feeders to get laughs should be shunned. Just another form of anti-Semitism. What does she have for brains? Not smart and extremely hurtful to survivors and the memory of the millions of innocents who perished under the rule of this butcher Hitler and his underlings. This idiot comedian makes light of this. Shame on this Jewish lady. I think it should be banned now. As funny as it might be to some, here are some obvious facts. Hitler was a nationalist socialist and hated Jews. Donald Trump is a Christian conservative, and loves Israel. I would venture to say this confused comedian is a socialist and much closer in ideology to Hitler than Donald Trump. At least Donald Trump has no trouble keeping the story straight. To have an expectation of people to have respect for laws of one's country does not make you a fascist dictator. Solidifies my resolve to never knowingly watch communist programs. These people have no honor. O'Brien has always been an overrated person. Silverman should hang her head in shame. The message that the Holocaust was a unique event in history and that, to avoid its trivialization, no one or nothing should be compared to the Holocaust or to Hitler has not gotten through. Frankly, all of the candidates are objectionable in one way or another from a Jewish standpoint, whether we are talking about slavish obedience to an ideological idol or to uneducated thinking, or to lies and deceit in their Machiavellian pursuit of their goal. She is naive with lots of ignorance thrown in there. Bernie the Jew would show less support for Israel than Trump would. Asterisk. I fully agree with Rabbi Cooper, and yet I wish to expand on what he has asserted with an additional caveat for any and all discussions on the Holocaust, the suffering and pain associated with the Holocaust to the Jewish people should never be transmitted through comedy to teach something, should never be transformed into an analogical lesson as has occurred in different Jewish communities in the States, in Israel, and in Europe in order to impute evil characteristics on one or more key figures who act nefariously in contemporary situations or victim appearances to those who feel victimized, as were the Jews in the ghettos and concentration camps during the Holocaust. I contend that Sarah Silverman, a Euro trademark S parody of Donald Trump, and Mel Brooks, a Euro trademark A Euro S springtime for Hitler, a Euro in the movie. The producers absolutely tear at my heartstrings with their mad attempt to extract laughs, and should be held in contempt in the memory of those who were murdered in the Holocaust, as well as those whose survivors who still live among us.
Well, I apologize for those short sentences. I'm finally learning more and more about Zira, my assistant. And as I learn more and more, it'll be better. Okay, well, anyhow, there was a bunch of replies by Jews, mostly, I guess, to this Sarah Silverman, the potty-mouthed Jewess, who has a sister who's a rabbi over in Israel. What a bunch of fucked-up people. Anyhow, that's it for now, 14:05, and I'll be back tomorrow, which is Tears Day. And hopefully things will get crazier by tomorrow. I love craziness. I do love it.